This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Friday at 4, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with me. He's here bright and early today.
Oh, yes, indeed. Well, it's school holidays coming up, right?
It is actually. Yeah. This coming week, right?
That's right. Mm. Today's the last day. I think all parents are heading towards KLIA, heading out of the country. So this is a time when you're sitting in the car, listening to the show, and then, you know, we're just going to entertain you all the way.
Entertain, okay. It's going to be interesting entertainment. I'm just thinking about how you're going to entertain.
Yeah, we're just going to get people to participate. I think that's an important part, isn't it?
Okay, and of course, the motivation to do this show today was the Future Music Festival and what really happened there, right? Six of the people who died from taking the new drug succumbed to it within 10 minutes, George.
Well, actually, I'm not too sure. Well, there are two things I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the future music is because I'm not too familiar with that.
Well, that tells
my age, right? That's right. Yeah, the sort of things that
mine.
The second thing that I am not 100% sure whether this is a new drug, because I heard some news reports saying that this might be just an overdose of drugs or something like that. But it's illicit drugs. That's the main thing.
Okay, and you know, what I found quite interesting is that in an unusually frank admission in its World Drug Report, the United Nations has conceded that its programs to create a drug-free world have done little to control the emergence of man-made drugs like bath salts. So if they're giving up and they really don't have much hold on this trade, then what do we do, really? We've had this conversation with Chris Saker in the past.
That's right.
About the legalization of marijuana.
Yeah, and also ketamine and then that sort of thing. That's right.
So, I mean, what was your take on this about it?
Actually, some of you kind of probably heard the show yesterday that it says that we're supposed to be talking about aging male and then, you know, anti-aging and things like that. Really, I feel so strongly about this subject that I thought we ought to do a show on it. Mm-hmm. And appropriately, actually, there was one urology report that recently came out shows that drug addicts have broad range of kidney pathologies. So that's one thing that I really wanted to highlight is that there are a lot of all these drugs. You know, we last time talked about ketamine, and then this particular report is actually highlighting, you know, opiates, and then we also going to talk a little bit about cannabis, how that's affecting our organs and internally. And so when we consolidate all these information, what I would like to know is that will all these negative publicity on health and things like that, is it really going to make any impact to the new generation of people or even the existing, you know, drug user? Will that scare people? Does that work? You know, if WHO find it difficult to work, I think we need to get the Klang Valley listeners to probably contribute to say, what do you think will work? Because everyone keep talking about education, isn't it? It's about education,
awareness,
education.
Yeah.
Awareness.
And it's the same thing with smoking.
Yeah.
Cigarettes, George.
Yeah, of course. And let's look at this particular report, which I came across.
Hold on. We need to send out a hook as to how people can call and contribute.
Absolutely.
Right? So we want to know whether or not it's a waste of time coming up with this sort of research in medical journals. I mean, there are tons of medical journals that tell you the impact of illicit drugs on the major organs of the body. We're going to concentrate on the kidney today because that's up your alley.
That's right.
So give us a call, 0377 109000. The other thing is, do you think we should go towards prohibition or even regulation of these drugs? Yeah. So give us a call, 0377 109000. You can tweet BFM Radio or text 0162019000. I cut you short.
No, absolutely. I mean, this particular news feed actually came out on the 18th of March. Essentially, it's reported from Germany. It's titled "Drug Addicts Have Broad Range of Kidney Pathologies." Mm-hmm. And I mean, it is a very simple study that was done in Frankfurt in Germany, basically looking at 129 deceased individuals who underwent forensic pathology autopsy. And then, you know, these were all people who obviously died from illicit drug abuse. And majority of these, it's a sad thing, is that the vast majority of these people had median age of 39 years old, and then, you know, had a median age of abuse of drugs for 17 years. And they found out that, you know, quite a lot, a large number of these candidates or individual who deceased had chronic kidney disease. So basically, they were looking into these studies to highlight the link between drug abuse and also kidney disease, mm-hmm. and trying to highlight exactly how that happened.
Just before we go on, George, how does the body metabolize recreational drugs?
All right,
what really happens?
Let's talk about cocaine first. Like, say, for example, I mean, it is a stimulant after all, because this is a drug. This is a powerful stimulant of the sympathetic nervous system. Sympathetic nervous system essentially is your flight and fright, hormone. Mm-hmm. Basically, it is inhibiting catecholamine reuptake and stimulating central sympathetic system, and that essentially, it just makes you...
is that part of the brain?
Well, yes. It's the whole body, really. Okay. So basically, it stimulates the blood flow, increased sensitivity of adrenergic receptors. Mm-hmm. You know, if you imagine that you have adrenaline that's running on your body, and then cocaine will enhance that adrenaline activity.
The production.
That's right. That's how you get that high. And then as a result of that, you can imagine what sort of effect it will have for all organs, because it will have changes to the brain, the heart, the lungs, and other organs such as kidney and liver. And this particular system actually specifically looking at kidneys, because, you know, with such damage that it may induce on the kidney, with a lot of enhance blood pressure, because the actual stimulant itself enhances adrenergic system, and then will have this sort of impact on the kidneys.
Okay.
Apart from that, they also have some direct toxic effect, because, you know, if you are just looking at these kind of oxidative stress on these kidneys and the organs, and then the constrictions of the vessels, you also have atherosclerosis that will occur. So it's not surprising when this autopsy study actually came out showing that constant consumptions of illicit drugs will have a detrimental effect on the kidneys. And all the studies have shown that, you know, it's not just the kidneys that's affected. You actually get the brain that's affected, you get the liver that's affected, and then also the heart that's affected. It is quite commonly recognized that cocaine actually have significant effect on myocardium, the heart itself. It can induce myocarditis. Sometimes, in a lot of cardiologists can tell you that constant use of this can cause heart enlargement, something called ventricular hypertrophy, mm-hmm. and also dilated cardiomyopathy.
Does it matter whether the method of taking these drugs, I mean, does it matter whether you sniff it or whether you, inject it, whether you, there are many methods of
actually,
these
right.
drugs. So does it really matter?
Well,
because at the end of the day, it is all... A lot of it is secreted via the kidney?
That's right. I mean, last time when we talked about ketamine, and ketamine had various ways of in being ingested or sniffed or anything like that. And then basically that will have significant impact on that. And then at the end of the day, it can be used locally or systemically, such as smoking, sniffing, injecting. They will have significant impact on the central nervous system. And then that central nervous system will result in that kidney failure, which is documented in this particular news report.
Interesting. LTY, how are you today?
Hello. Fine, thank you, Mira. And how are you, Mira?
Very well, thank you.
Good afternoon, Dr. George.
Good afternoon, LTY.
George, I was reviewing renal clearance, the function of the kidney. I have I have some doubt in this part of statement. In an isotonic urine, the mm-hmm. urine flow rate, volume per minute, is equal to the osmolar clearance. The second thing is, in the hypotonic urine, the urine flow is equal to the osmolar clearance plus the positive free water clearance. Can you explain this? Okay, before I end, Dr. Chong, with regards to drug, it's very difficult to stop people using. I think generally it is a matter of people making judicious choice. That That's the answer.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah. Elsie White, no, Elsie White, before you go, yes. You know, obviously, you know, at the end of the day, yes. A program like this is bringing a lot of awareness.
Yes.
It, you know, a study like this highlighting that constant use of cocaine will yes. damage your kidney.
Yes.
And there are a lot of studies to show it will damage your brain, damage
yes.
your heart.
Yes.
So, you know, you said it's judicious use. Do you think all these studies make any dent to reducing the number of people who consume drugs?
In a way, it may affect people's mindset, all right? It may affect people's mindset. The more research they do, the better. Okay?
I think the more research we do, the more we understand yeah. how this affects people.
Yeah.
But as a society at large, you know, what do you think are other ways we can actually prohibit
okay.
people from doing
very
it?
Very simple. As society at large, if you, the problem, if you can clear this problem of distress, depression, stress and all this, I think it will help, sir. It will help. I think let the experts do more research on this line, okay?
Thank you, LTY.
Okay.
He has a point because then the question is, why do people
go for it in the
yes,
first place?
Exactly.
So
what is the root cause
what's
of the
root
problem?
What's the root cause of the problem? So because a lot of people are highlighting on the eliminations, disseminations of information.
Yeah.
So like, you know, the more people know about the adverse effect it's going to do to your body, the less people is going to take drugs. So I'm going to challenge you, actually say that actually a lot of these publications probably not going to make an impact. So we need to think of other ways to stop people from taking drugs.
Well, as Chris Saker, the last time we spoke to him, the addiction therapist, he said there is a root cause for all of this most of the time, and it includes dysfunctional families, it includes neglect, it includes peer pressure. It, you know, there was something else I was reading, George, and I did a show the other day on loneliness amongst the elderly.
Right.
That is a factor that pushes older people towards taking drugs as well.
Is that right?
Yes.
So what is the sort of prevalence of older people taking drugs?
No idea.
Yeah,
you know how we are with statistics
that,
in this country.
That actually exists.
It
you
does.
Know? Okay. So you know, so what LTY is suggesting is that is the root cause of this. So I would like to, you know, highlight, does that mean that a high-pressure cooker society, for example, in Hong Kong, in Shanghai,
no,
in
no,
Singapore?
No. That doesn't make a difference. Because if you think about it, and, you know, I have some research here, man has been using recreational drugs for as long as history itself.
That's right. So we have several tiers of discussion here.
Yeah.
The first tier of discussion that I would like to highlight is that with a system where you constantly disseminate information, I don't know how much of that information is ignored or absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people understand a simple research like this highlighting cocaine causes kidney damage.
Mm-hmm.
But how much of that do you choose to understand and process in your mind and prohibit you from using this is the big question marks we want to discuss today, because that indeed will just highlight whether information like this will make any difference whatsoever.
Yeah, and you know, maybe the direction in which Malaysia should move towards, is it more prohibition, is it more regulation, and should we as a result continue to ban music festivals? So give us a call, 0377 109000. You can tweet VFM Radio or text 0162019000.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture, and I'm Mira Sivasuthi. Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with me. We have an interesting topic we're discussing. Of course, the Future Music Festival was, you know, the headlines over the
yeah.
week. It was actually, the last day was cancelled.
That's
yeah.
right.
And they've gone on to cancel the Kuantan Music Festival, which is supposed to happen on the 3rd and 4th of April, I understand.
Is that right?
As a result,
okay.
yes.
Right.
And coincidentally, it seems to have, drugs seem to have a correlation with music. And coincidentally, we're going to do a show on that on Tuesday at 3 o'clock. You don't want to miss that with our musician, BFM's musician, Ali Johan, and Lee Chui Lin,
no.
our producer. So we'll find that going back in history and that correlation.
Right.
So coming back to what we're discussing today.
Coming back to this music festival, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, obviously I own up initially that I don't know much about, you know, future music. And then, so what I did was that I have a group of, 18 to 21 year old medical student from Monash University.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out, you know, I just kind of found out how many of them were going. One of them was going. And then, and when I said, look, do you think the last day should have been cancelled? And she said, no, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know, she said, look, you know, one, you know, bad apple shouldn't spoil the whole thing.
Yes.
I said, don't you think even just, you know, behind all that, there are tragic death of six young people, fellows of your generations. That alone should give some space or pay some respect. And we shouldn't belittle, you know, the danger of drugs. So if the show had gone on, so, you know, I think that kind of belittled the seriousness of the actual problem itself. So, you know, they kind of understood that. But, you know, when I found out earlier on, you said that Kuantan festivals will now be cancelled. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that in the future all the festivals will
yes.
be cancelled? So that actually put a big question mark to it. Cancelling all these things, will it make any impact on reducing the number of illicit drug using? That will be a big question to answer.
Yeah, give us a call, 0377 109000. Just to build on what you just said, the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, George, they say a new drug is designed every fortnight.
Kidding.
No.
Right, dear.
So where do we go from here?
Well,
and we even know that.
So, you know, so they have to fight this every fortnight with new drugs. I tell you why a urologist get involved in something like this. And illicit drugs itself, a lot of it is excreted in the urine. Mm-hmm. As I can, there are 24 million people are estimated to use recreation drugs in the UK and US alone. And a lot of this obviously is excreted in the urine. Mm-hmm. As I can, let's say, for example, ketamine. Ketamine uropathy, which we talked about, affect a quarter of the ketamine users. So every four people uses it, one will actually get affected. And women are affected more than men.
Is that really true?
That is true.
So there is a difference between
there is a difference between gender.
And
that's
okay.
Right. Nobody knows why. Cannabis actually can increase the risk of bladder cancer. And we get a lot of men, you know, who potentially have this risk to have prostate cancer and also germ cell cancer. You know, this is testicular cancer in men. And then, you know, people inject heroin into different places. Sometimes can cause fornia gangrene.
What's that?
The fornia gangrene is just like, you know, your skin rot away with the, you know, flesh-eating bugs that actually eat
all
away.
Over.
No, in the site where you inject, if obviously
right.
it's non-hygienic.
Okay.
And that's when urologists come in to actually clear this all away. And then all these are the things that we really deal with on our day-to-day life.
Okay.
And it is quite sad to see that.
Right. Hi, Amarjit. How are you?
I'm good.
Amarjit,
your
good
comments.
Afternoon.
How are you?
I'm good. It's only raining around. Whether somebody has a live concert now, it's going to be a fun live concert.
Well, it's not raining here today.
Well, at least we can solve some water problems.
Yeah, we will.
Hopefully.
Your contribution, Amarjit.
Okay, there was a research done by the Americans recently, right?
Yes.
The highest drug takers are not the low-income earners or people who enjoy music. Are actually the professionals themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The reason why drugs intakes has actually increased is because of pressure, working environment, and so forth. So even if the Malaysian government says they cancel a music concert because of there were drug abuse cases and all,
mm-hmm.
let's be very frank as a human. If you stop a vice from one thing, don't you think somebody else will pick up a different vice? And don't you think drugs will become worse because people will find a lot of other opportunities how to abuse it?
Right.
All right. This is like, you know, it's gone underground if you actually, you know, prohibit it.
True. Like, for example, right, we travel to Southeast Asian countries, like the Philippines or even to Thailand. There are a lot of things to be censored off from here. But the thing is, let's be on the frame. They have a lot of concerts. They have a lot of events, what we call like full moons and all this kind of stuff. Abusing of all these things do happen, do take place. But there's a control mechanism in all these things. The thing is, empowerment is one, and authorities to take action, there are certain ways to be done. We go to, for example, to Germany, we go to US, live band concerts are held every year. People purchase tickets 1 year ahead for certain concerts and so forth. There are things that the authorities allow and permit, there are things they do not allow. One of them is drugs. So everything in Malaysia we do, there must be a control mechanism by the government where they have to actually carry out certain actions of it. So if we always react like a parent and cut off certain things immediately, don't you think the after reaction becomes worse?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Amarjit.
Amarjit, you know, you earlier on mentioned about education, you know, empowerment and things. You know, obviously,
yeah.
a show like this, we highlighted scientific journal, really, really robust data to show that it's affecting the brain, affecting the kidney, affecting, causing cancer and things like that. Do you think that sort of messages is instilling to the people who are affected by this?
Okay. Let's be very in a very nice manner in today's culture. If you tell somebody not to do something, he will still go on and do it, mm-hmm. right?
Like smoking cigarettes, really.
Yeah, the more you tell people not to smoke, they do it. Mm-hmm. So what you got to do is, very simple, we use reverse psychology. So what
boxes, smoke less, smoke.
Boxes, they put all the pictures, the beautiful pictures of all kind of stuff that comes up on the So we use reverse. It's the same thing like a small kid. If you put a glass of hot water on the table and you tell him don't touch, it's hot, he will still touch it, right?
Yeah.
But if you tell the small kid, don't touch, it's hot, but when you touch it, your hand will, you know, for example, it will bleed, you feel pain. And whatever happens, dad or mom doesn't care about it. When it happens, you got to cry and take the pain on your own.
Okay.
Basically, we have reached to that stage. We can't beat kids anymore. We can't cane the kids anymore. You tell the kids something, kids abuses parents back again. So the best solution is reverse psychology. Take a step behind. Let's look at the bigger picture. How can we get it done in a proper way? Instilling fear is good and it's bad. But let's do it in a way that we tell people, these are the consequences, this is how you're going to suffer, this is how you're going to affect your family, this is how it's going to affect you financially. If you think you're strong and able, fine, go ahead, do what you want. But education background, where you come from, does not actually say that you will end up becoming this kind of person.
Right. Thank you very much, Amarjit. Yep. Thank
no
you.
Problem.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Azza, who has a contribution via Twitter, and Azza says the Metallica concert in KL had no problems. There were no overdoses. Yeah, we've had tons of concerts in
The Rolling Stone concert in Singapore
which
had no problem.
Went for.
Which I went for. But mind you, after dancing for three songs, the average age will probably be about 75 years old, and then everyone needs to have a lie down after dancing for a while. So I think, leave alone the drugs, I think all the people were just, advancing age.
That's like, why you were not
that's
at the
why,
Future
that's what,
Music
that's
Festival,
future,
George.
Exactly.
New Zealand is actually proposing to have better regulations, regulation as far as drugs are concerned. Mm. Do you think that's maybe a way forward as well, rather than prohibition, saying, you know, don't do it?
It's a fine line between regulation and prohibition, isn't it? You know, if you regulate something, does that mean that you get it freely available, but yet, you kind of control a little bit, but when somebody doesn't stick to the rules, do you actually prohibit? So it is a fine line, and which countries are kind of like are trying to titrate it to strike that balance is not easy.
Okay. What about, I was also reading that drug abusers are becoming more aware of the risk of dehydration, George, and often drink large quantities of water after taking things like ecstasy to try and prevent this. And this leads to hyponatremia. What is that?
Sodium.
Too much water?
It's sodium. Yeah, it's too much water. I mean, sodium in our body is crucial, you know, in order to generate something called action potential in our brain, in our nervous system, in the contraction of muscles and everything. It needs to have this electric polarization between inside and outside the cell. So whenever you actually consume so much water, you dilute the sodium effect inside your body. Mm-hmm. And that itself can be dangerous, you know, because we need to have that fine balance of homeostasis. Basically, it needs to maintain at certain level. So when somebody actually suddenly had huge amount of water intake, and then that would dilute your salt balance, and then that can be potentially dangerous.
Yeah, man, that's so like water poisoning, isn't it?
It is, indeed.
People don't realize that. Even in normal conditions, if you drink too much water,
then your brain will swell up, because at the end of the day, you know, the absorption of that excess fluid into the cell can actually cause quite significant damage to you.
As well as urinary retention due to bladder neck closure has been associated with drug use. What is all this, George?
This
as
is
I
when,
said, up your alley.
See, people don't imagine why would a urologist be interested in
bladder neck closure
and drug abuse, because in the middle of the night we will see people who are so hallucinated they fall off the stairs, their full bladder, and their bladder get ruptured, or they fall off the stairs and then when they bang on their kidneys get ruptured, and then also a situation where they drink so much they become hyponatremic, and then they get a situation where they cannot urinate because of so much much water accumulate inside their bladder, and then their bladder neck just seized up, and then also they keep going to toilet with recurrent infection and things like that. So it's constantly affecting medical professions when we have to look after patients.
And mind you, we're just talking about urology here.
That's right. This is affects, only urology.
And it affects all other major organs as well.
Mainly neurology, urology, cardiology, and obviously psychology.
Okay, so the brain, the heart,
The kidneys.
And the secretion system.
The hormonal systems, endocrinology. And most of us are affected, but sometimes we are in the front line.
Okay. Yong, how are you today?
Yes, afternoon, Dr. George. Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Yong.
Okay. Look, I'll listen on air after I say this. Mm-hmm. All you said about now, the more we know about this addiction and this danger, can we compare it with tobacco addiction? Because for tobacco addiction, you're pumping into your system more than 4,000 poisons.
Chemicals, yes.
Yeah, into the system. Mm-hmm. I just listen on air.
Thank you. I think it's more than 7,000.
That's a good point, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. So what do you think, George?
Well,
that's the thing, isn't it? Because tobacco consumption is socially acceptable, there is not much of a push to...
Well, this is what...
Get people to stop.
From my understanding of what New Zealand's trying to do, regulation is actually make it more socially acceptable. However, it actually is decriminalize cannabis, that sort of like a measure. I don't really know how different society is going to adapt to their regulations and things like that. And then, if you draw parallelity between tobacco smoking and this, obviously, I think in terms of scale of damage, purely looking at this kidney damage alone, on constant use of cocaine from this paper that we're talking about, you're looking at the scale of it, it's much, much higher.
It's intense.
It is intense. It's multiplied by several multitudes. And then so that's why I guess acceptability for tobacco smoking is a lot better than cocaine, for example.
Well, it will slowly but surely kill you.
Absolutely. So but both are heading the right direction. It's less of all evils, really.
Yes, correct. John here. John says he's from Gen Y. He doesn't understand the excitement about all these drugs, which is fantastic. And he agrees with the previous caller. He says we should just leave it. It's great that there are awareness programs, but people in his mind will continue to ignore it. There's nothing much that we can do. This is similar to natural selection. Don't you agree? I like his analogy.
Good Gen Y for natural selection.
Well done, Gen Y. I'm very, very proud of you. Anyway, we'll be back after a quick market update. We're discussing recreational drugs and its effects on the kidneys. We're asking whether or not all these medical journals that come out with research that point to the detriments of recreational drugs, whether or not it's a waste of time. Should we go towards more prohibition or regulation of recreational drugs? Give us a call, 0377 109 000. You can tweet BFM Radio or text 0162019 000.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. If you have just joined as well, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with me. Of course, it's Friday. He's not around. Couple of Fridays in April, I understand. No, next week.
Next week.
You're and not then here.
So I'm going to be here on a fortnightly basis.
Where are you going? Another concert. For all the concerts.
To the future, to understand future music. It's my mission now.
No, George. We stay away from music festivals. We just go for concerts. Yeah, safe. But, you've been for so many concerts. Do you notice, and you would be the right person to tell whether people are, in fact,
nobody has approached me or anything.
You don't have to approach you. People around you.
Yeah, right. Okay, I don't think so. I've said, even with probably younger crowds, concerts, and then,
I forgot. Yeah, they're not there.
No.
They're not at the concerts that you go to.
Exactly.
So, doesn't it cut across age or...?
Well... people would say someone like Rolling Stones, in the 60s, absolutely, entangled with all these things. People can argue that that's the start of all these problems. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that, people grow out of it, you know, because that was something that people took risk for when they are young. And then they need to understand that a lot of these damage is being done to them. And then so what I'm trying to highlight is that we have hundreds and hundreds of evidence to suggest that, you know, constant illicit use of drugs will have detrimental effects on the body, on the brain, on all these organs.
Can you really grow out of it?
I don't know, because surely, you know, Chris was a good example.
But maybe Chris made a made a conscious decision to get his life back in order.
Well, that's, in many people's mind, is maturity.
Mm. So, yeah, so grow out of it in that sense.
That's right.
Can there come a time when your body will just reject?
Well, yes, you get
drugs.
Kidney failure like that, and then your body is rejecting you.
i.e., it does not have an effect anymore.
Well, it's called tolerance. I mean, I'm not an expert in drug addiction. Mm-hmm. However, I believe that, you know, the need for the drugs will build up, and it's medical terminology called tolerance.
Okay, I'll go back to your part of
that's
the
right, my
anatomy.
Part of
renal infarction, what is that?
Infarction means lack of oxygen perfusion, and in renal infarction, essentially, with all these adrenaline that is, you know, causing vasoconstriction, and then the perfusion of the kidneys will be restricted, and then there's lack of oxygen, lack of perfusions to the kidney, resulting in multiple cell death, and that is an infarction. It's irreversible, and that's part of the reasons why people actually get kidney damage as a result of these illicit drug using.
Okay, do you see many people who come in with these problems who are in recreational drugs? And the other thing is, George, early findings of the people who passed on during the Future Music Festival tested positive for methamphetamines and amphetamines. Could you just highlight a little bit on how different these drugs are from the rest?
I'm not 100% sure because, you know, I'm not in that sort of like a arena to understand exactly what's the difference between amphetamines, like you highlighted earlier on, that, you know, there's two new drugs of a variation of group of drugs that actually comes up all the time.
One new drug every fortnight.
One new drug every fortnight. And then, you know, majority of the ones that affect us are, what affects my line of work will be ketamine, will be cocaine, will be cannabis, and then, and also actually cough. Medicine, you know, abuse is another thing. Glue sniffing, it's another thing that can potentially cause a lot of damage. And then they all fall under the same categories of abusing these drugs for not for medical reasons at all. And then so, you know, I'm not 100% sure the amphetamines that it's used, what sort of effect it had on these people, and then for the deceased in this music festival. So that will be kind of like not really up my expert area to discuss.
But what do you think? Should we ban music festivals as a result?
Well, the third caller actually made a very good point to say that banning these music festivals probably would just drive a lot of people underground, and then you'll find it a lot more difficult, and all these will not be reported. The six deaths will be, you know, will not be reported.
We wouldn't know.
We wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. And then I guess reporting the six deaths is a tragic, tragic situation for the family, young death as a result of these drug abuse, and then can actually send a big signal for somebody who's not exposed to this. And I really think that's important. However, if it is all driven underground, and then, you know, we have a Hello magazine kind of like society where everything is hunky-dory, there's no evil, there's no death from all these problems, there's no drug abuse and things like that, I really think that that is portraying...
It's a bigger problem.
It is a bigger problem. Mm-hmm.
But when you see people coming to you, right, and if they are coming to seek help, they are using drugs and they are coming to seek help because they know that it can calm their health, maybe after this show, you never know, right? What do we need to tell our doctor about medical history?
Yeah. To be truthful, you know, when I was working in the UK, I have never been exposed to anybody who actually have this sort of problems. You know, in the UK...
That's weird.
Because there are experts, there are specialists who actually deals with drug abuse, rehabilitations and things like that. And then
doesn't come under urology.
Correct. Because when they have problems that they need to deal with, and then we'll be brought in to do that. So they don't present to a urologist, which is the way that you highlighted early on, that, you know, when somebody come to see us with a, you know, after 15 minutes of conversations, then they'll be running to toilet. And then if they are in the age group of 25 to 35, then we're profiling them and ask very direct question, do you take ketamine, for example, that actually is affecting your bladder? And then first time, they are scared because they think that you might report them to authorities. And then later on, when they're more comfortable with you, then they will increasingly own up, discuss how they would like to seek help.
Are you supposed to report them to the authorities?
I don't think ketamine falls under the group of the drugs that doctors are supposed to, you know, report to authorities. However, the first thing I will do is call Chris in order to ask for help for counselling and also giving support in order to help them to get out of the situation. Majority of time, I urge them to come with their family. Sadly, I do see young adults who actually have young family who have got a very supportive family structures, however, still fall into this situation. So I don't think, like earlier on we highlighted, that it's a stress of society, it's a pressure cooker that is actually building up and that sort of thing. I don't think it's purely that. You know, there are some elements of upbringing. I think there's some elements of genetics reason why people choose to do that. Like what Chris described previously, that is a trigger. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there are people who are more vulnerable. There are no people who are not vulnerable. I mean, my job when I see patients in that situation is identify and give them an opportunity if they want to talk about it. And then try my absolute best to help them. And the most important thing, do not judge or do not actually punished in a sense. And also, I won't actually judge in a sense that to find out, you know, you are, you know, you'll be less of a person if you are, you know, abuser, and then or any in that any kind of manner. Because whenever you come across that you're non-judgmental, they're more willing to actually come forward to ask for help in that situation.
Well, you know what? History actually suggests that regulation reduces more harm than prohibition, actually.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. So then it makes you wonder why.
I think you begin to see that, you know, in the 70s and 80s, the constant things you hear was that, you know, people get locked up for life and that sort of things.
And it's still a death sentence.
It is still, yeah.
If you're in possession.
But many, many countries has already stopped that. And then so maybe that is the sign of time that, you know, we're moving forward. However, truthfully, looking at this particular report, you know, it's highlighted that cocaine abuse is associated with 6-fold increase of hypertensive ischemic damage to the kidney, 16-fold increase of interstitial inflammations, 24-fold of risk of renal calcifications. All these are really severe damage to the kidneys. And then, so I think on one hand, we understand a lot more how this damage is done, and then we can actually help people. But what that information needs to do is to instill into somebody who potentially can be abuser how that is being processed. Just like the caller said, that if the direct way of scaring doesn't work, mm-hmm. then reverse psychology or whatever form that it has to come in should really play the tricks of stopping people from being fall into that trap. Mm-hmm. Because it is a trap. And then, you know, 6 people died in a music festival for young people. And then in any form of imagination, it is an absolute tragedy.
You know, I think it's a multifaceted problem. All aspects need to come into play. Regulation, we need to go back to how we bring up our children, how much we communicate with them.
Yeah.
It's a whole gamut of issues.
So the whole control to reduce this problem, I think you're right. It has to come in 3-folds. Number one, it has to be some degree of law control or prohibition, because that is the key way of stopping, kind of like, you know, some rules to actually say that. On top of that, some degree of regulations, mm-hmm. And then on top of all that, the most important part is a family structure. And a family structure to come in to help to support the affected.
Thank you for joining us today, George.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a heavy subject. I generally felt that, you know, this is a subject that less talked about because some people might not find it interesting. Some people might say that it's not affecting us. At the end of the day, it is really happening in our backyard. There are 6 deaths in a music festival of young adults, and that is a tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.